The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is our Week 14 recap show. A couple of housekeeping items before we get to the games. One, make sure and leave a five-star review. We have another mailbag coming soon. By the way, I forgot to tell you what day it was. Not that you needed my help to do that. It is Monday, December 14th. Five-star review. That would be grateful. If you want to ask us any question, we will answer it in the upcoming mailbag. We also have a Week 15 Look Ahead Lines podcast with myself and John Breach in the feed that you can check out. We look at five or six different games, the spreads, give out some best bets, some leans. There actually are some ones where I think you should go if you want to bet them and bet them early. By the way, somebody sent me a DM that they won $2,500 on a parlay. Bang! You'd love to see it. So good work. And of course, you know, we'll have podcasts throughout the week. Joining me now to break down Week 14, John Breach and Ryan Wilson. What's up, guys?
Hey, hey, hey.
Yo, 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 yo.
That sounded a lot like Jesse from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, well, that's my new intro now. I'm going to do it every week.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's hey, is Dwayne from What's Happening.
Oh, I thought you were going to go, hey, hey, hey.
Fat Albert?
Fat Albert. Look at that.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're smart. We're all smart.
All right.
Except so, he's skinny Ryan instead of fat Albert.
That's right. Ryan. Okay. Ryan, a picture of Ryan from college popped up on Twitter during the William & Mary shout out for Mike Tomlin and Sean McDermott. We forgot that Ryan had an earring in college.
And you know what else he had in college? Hair. And he lost it all tonight during that Bill Steelers game is my understanding.
Yes. Passive aggressive breach. Back-to-back leaks.
We will get to that Bills Steelers game in just a second. Let's take a quick look at the playoff picture. Right now in the AFC, the Chiefs have clinched the AFC West. They've clinched a playoff spot, are in the one seed. They leapfrogged the Steelers because the Steelers lost to the Bills. And now the Chiefs actually have the tiebreaker over the Steelers because of strength of victory or conference record. One of the two.
Better record too.
Yeah, but I'm saying that they finished tied. The Chiefs will have the tiebreaker.
They've now both lost inside the conference. That's why the Steelers had the edge coming into this week because they had lost to football team as opposed to losing to the Raiders, which is what the Chiefs had done.
Correct. Okay, so yeah, right. If they end up with the same record, they will have the same conference record, and then the Chiefs.
The Chiefs lose an AFC game because then they'll have two AFC losses and the Steelers only have one.
For now.
For now.
Right. Is that the tiebreaker? Okay.
Well, that's the first tiebreaker.
Here's the thing. Chiefs ain't losing. They play the Saints next week. I ain't worried about the Chiefs.
Chiefs are going 15-1. Let's just give them the first seed.
Even if they go 14-2 and lose to the Saints, they're still going to be the number one seed.
Okay. So anyway, then the Bills at three. The Bills are 10-3 for the first time since 1991. They have a 2-game lead in the AFC East. They look like they're going to clinch it for the first time in 25 years. The Titans have a leg up in the AFC South, the number four seed. Browns, Colts, and Dolphins rounding out your wild cards. It was interesting seeing the NBC sports guy. What's his name from MSNBC? The election?
Oh, yeah. Steve Kornacki.
Kornacki, yeah. I mean, Steve Pernacki's up there and he's doing probabilities. He's like, now you may be shocked. The Dolphins at 39% probability to make the playoffs. The Dolphins have a tough schedule coming up and they nearly had an upset over the Chiefs, but then Patrick Mahomes did things. We'll get to that in a minute. Any thoughts on that AFC field before I move on to the NFC?
I think what matters most is number one. That's not a revelation because the new playoff format is the first team gets a bye. I don't think it matters necessarily if you're the number two or number three team in so much as whoever wins those games, if there's a rematch of number two, number three, obviously three goes to number two. So right now Steelers are two, Bills are three. I think the Steelers would prefer to host the Bills. But you know what? The way the Bills and Steelers are playing, it may not matter where they rematch if that so happens.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, Breach, go ahead. The home field advantage, I don't think, is going to matter that much.
And the team we're not going to talk about tonight is the Ravens. They still haven't played their Week 14 game. If they win, you know, they're tied with the Dolphins for that seventh seed, and that could throw a wrench. We talked about last week how, you know, Steelers-Ravens first round match, 2-7 seed, that would be crazy. So I feel like the first six spots are locked up. I feel like everybody 6-1 is going to make the postseason. Maybe the seeds shake out a little bit differently. And then we have a three-way battle going on there for number seven between the Ravens, Raiders, and Dolphins. And
I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but I haven't seen an email come across the playoff odd probabilities from Sportsline. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Debo. So I looked up the New York Times simulation. They have the Titans 95% to make it, Colts 85% to make it, Titans 64% to win the division, and Colts 36% chance to win the division.
Quickly, I didn't know if you mentioned it, but the Steelers also have clinched a playoff spot. I know you talked about the Chiefs winning the division, but the Steelers, even though they lost, have clinched a playoff
spot. But they clinched a playoff spot last week. Remember, it was so weird.
No, they hadn't. I think Raiders had to lose today, or the Dolphins had to lose, or one other team had to lose. And two.
What was the deal with that then?
What did we decide, Breach?
We decided that if they did not get –
Somebody told us they clinched a playoff spot. I was freaking out about it.
No, Breach.
Yeah, last week you were, because they could have gone 11-5, and at that point the Raiders still could have gone 11-5. The Raiders now cannot go 11-5, so that takes the wrench out of a multi-way tie that would get rid of the Steelers.
So even though they lost, they've clinched. So two teams in the AFC are now guaranteed going to the playoffs.
And the Chiefs, 62% – to get a round one by Steelers, 37%. They're basically the only two teams that can get involved in it. Although I guess the Bills 9-3, they're not going to.
And the Bills can also clinch a playoff spot if the Ravens win tomorrow.
Oh, Bills are in the playoffs. They're in a good spot.
Yeah, they're in a great spot. They're winning the division.
Okay. To the NFC, where your number one seed now, but the Saints lost. Taysom Hill fell to Jalen Hurts. We, of course, talk about that game in a second. Are the Green Bay Packers, they clinched the division on Sunday at 10-3. They are a full four games up on the Minnesota Vikings. They are 51% to get the number one seed. The Saints, 35%. And the Rams, checking in at 9%, are your top favorites there. Obviously, nobody from the NFC East is involved in that discussion. But the Packers look to be in very good shape to secure that first round bye and home field advantage. The Saints are second in the NFC, Rams third, Washington football team fourth, Seahawks, Bucks, and Cardinals. The Cardinals climb back in here, and thanks to the Buccaneers, look to be in, I would say, fairly decent shape. They're 50-50, 51% to make the playoffs, but that had dipped a large amount. The Bears still at 20% to make it with a win. Vikings now down to 25%. The Giants are kind of in the mix as a wild card team.
No, maybe not.
5-8. No.
5-8. No.
No.
Not at all.
You sound like me talk about the Cowboys, Brinson. There's no hope.
I was like, why am I seeing that number? No. They're not in the mix at all. But so that is the current playoff picture. Any thoughts on the NFC side of things?
I feel like this is down to two teams, unlike the AFC where you have a lot of teams. Every team that's in it, at least the top six teams in the AFC, you feel good about them winning one, maybe two playoff games.
Put some damn respect on the Rams' name.
Yeah, some respect on Washington's name. Ryan, they've won four in a row.
They have won four in a row.
Do you hear Ron Rivera in the in the post-game locker room? Something probably could have grabbed the sound for it, but I'm lazy.
Hip, hip, hurrah.
He said, nobody wants to play us right now. I can tell you that much. Yeah. He's like, you're leading the division, but you got to act like it. Act professional. Carry yourself as professionals Nobody wants to play us right now. I can promise you that.
Lane Haskins is your quarterback. Let's bring it down.
Alex Smith, calf strain. We'll get that game in a second. But
you know, Pete Carroll's going to play that clip all week.
I mean, I still think the Seahawks and the Rams can do damage in the playoffs.
I just feel if you're matching up team to team, I feel more comfortable with the AFC depth. I feel less so in the NFC. That's all I'm saying. Like, who are the Buccaneers? No one knows. Like, if the Buccaneers played football team, I mean, what's the spread on that game?
5.5, and I'm taking Washington.
Yeah, exactly.
And the game's in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad matchup for Tom Brady. He folds under pressure. But at the same time, like, I feel like the Buccaneers could take the Packers. I feel like the Rams could take the Bucks. Seahawks and Bucks would be a total dogfight.
There's one constant in your conversations there, the Bucks.
You asked me who the Bucks were.
And you look at, because of the way things ended up shaking out this week, that, you know, obviously the Cardinals won. They're in the seventh spot right now at 7-6, which means if you get to 10 wins, you are automatically in the NFC playoffs. So for the Seahawks, because the 8 and 9 seeds both already have 7 losses, they can only get the 9 wins. So the Seahawks, they just need to get one more win. All of a sudden they're in. The Buccaneers, who we were a little worried about, just go 2-1 in your final 3 games. You're in. And the Cardinals, who knows? And then the Vikings are 8 and 9 with the Bears, and they play each other next week. So one of those teams is going to be gone, the loser, and all of a sudden it's going to be the Cardinals.
Loser leaves town match.
Loser leaves town match. And all of a sudden, so you're going to have the Cardinals duking out the winner of that game for that 7th seed.
Yeah. Seattle, 99% to make the playoffs. Tampa Bay, 94%. Both those teams look to be in very good shape. And clearly, the only pathway for, you know, so at this point, it's actually kind of crazy. So at this point, the only teams that are sort of fighting for, the football team, everyone in the NFC East and on the NFC side, it's almost like the wild cards are decided, right? Maybe there's one that's not decided, and it's what you're saying. It's like maybe Minnesota, whoever wins Minnesota or Chicago gobbles up a huge percentage of the loser's share and then can possibly make a run at Arizona.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that's essentially it.
And they all have similar records in conference, so that it'll come down to whatever the next tiebreaker is.
Yeah. This is not a wild playoff picture this year, but there's 7 teams now. If there were 6 teams, if you're only getting 6 teams in on each side, things would be a lot hairier right now. Do you think that they made a mistake doing this?
I don't like the only one bye week.
That's what a Steelers fan would say right now, yes.
I just got dunked on by Ryan freaking Finley. Settle down over there.
we'll get through it. We'll talk about it.
I do agree with Ryan though on that. I think not giving both teams a bye.
I think it'll really suck if the Steelers go 14-2 and don't get a bye.
Well, they're not going to get a bye. That ship has sailed.
Right. I'm just saying it's like 14-2 got you a bye every year for the last 20 years.
Well, and mine and Ryan's friendship is going to sail if the Steelers keep losing.
Yeah.
So Ryan's going to hate me.
My bet is if the Steelers lose at Cincinnati next week, Ryan Finley tattoo right here.
That is an actual podcast bet. If the Steelers, you said it twice now.
All right, then I'll do it. Of course I'll do it. But you have to pay for it. Breach draws it. You pay for it. I get it.
I will literally I'll Venmo you the money the second the game is over. And I will Venmo you double whatever the tattoo costs so that you can buy a camera and take pictures of yourself to send all of us. Nice camera.
All right. So, yeah, I say, let's just say on your shoulder.
Okay.
Because you won't do it on your face.
You don't want to go full Mike Tyson.
Can you imagine you have one tattoo and it's a Ryan Finley tattoo that Breach drew for you?
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
On your shoulder?
He's like, why does he have devil horns? Who knows? So if the Bengals beat the Steelers in Cincinnati in week 15, Ryan Wilson will get a Ryan Finley tattoo paid for by myself and John Breach somewhere on your body. God, I cannot wait for this to happen. Steelers are 24-point favorites. They lost 2 in a row, so it's pretty unlikely. But I mean,
I don't know. I'm not worried. All right,
it's a football game. Anything can happen.
Speaking of the Steelers, anything can happen. They looked like they were going to cruise to the Bills. Things were going their way, and then they found themselves on the losing end of a Sunday night football battle in Buffalo, 26-15. The Bills covered the -2. The under 48.5 hit. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs went nuts. 21 fantasy points for Allen, 19 for Diggs. As we mentioned, Bills 10-3 for the first time since 1991 with a 2-game lead in the division. Is it time to recognize that the Bills' upside might be as high as the Super Bowl?
Yeah. So I was on HQ all day on Sunday, and we were talking about this game right before I did the podcast. And I said to Eric Casilius, I said, for the rest of the season, would you rather have Big Ben or Josh Allen as your quarterback? I mean, it's not even close. Josh Allen. Josh Allen is Big Ben 15 years ago, but he's much more athletic. And he got shut down in the first half. He had the interception because his arm got hit, and then they had the fumble. And they ended the half with field goal, pick six. They made some halftime adjustments, touchdown. The Steelers went into halftime and said, whatever we do, do not guard Stephon Diggs. Leave him wide ass open. That's all we want you to do. And then Roethlisberger threw that interception with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Done. And that was a huge turn of events at halftime. The Steelers still can't run the ball, but the bigger issue for me, and I've been saying this for 2 weeks now, they can't catch the ball either. Deontay Johnson got benched after the first two series. Didn't come back till halftime. He played a little better. But if your best player isn't on the field because he can't catch the ball, you have issues. They have the injury concerns, but whatever. Everyone has injury concerns. And Scott Pioli talked about this, and Brian McFadden did too. And I think they're right. The Steelers are probably exhausted. They played 4 games now in 16 days. But what? That's where we're at, dude. So you got to get over it. You played the Bengals next week. Ryan Finley tattoos on the line. So get your head out of your butt. And let's win a football game. But I love what the Bills are doing. That defense, we talked for the first half of the year how that defense sucked.
It's coming together real nice.
Coming together real nice. And by the way, Sean McDermott, William Mary, Mike Tomlin, William Mary. Sean McDermott's 2-0 against Mike Tomlin.
Interesting. Yeah, the defense. So I think to your point on the offensive adjustments, one, Josh Allen started getting the ball out faster.
And accurately.
Yeah. Well, but I think not getting pressure. I think they slid protection on the inside to kind of keep Cam Hayward from doing whatever Cam Hayward was doing because he was having his way getting in to get after Allen. That gave him a little more, I think, space and less. You know, he didn't feel like he was just being and that first drive in the second half, he was getting crushed. But I mean, like, it did feel like they slid some protection on the inside, and then they got the ball out of Josh Allen's hands faster, and they lean on Stephon Diggs. And they're like, all right, look, Stephon, like, if they're playing zone, get open and squat in a spot. And if they're playing man, juke this guy. And they did a really good job of recognizing it. We saw that same thing that they did last week against San Francisco, where Diggs and Allen were on the same page in terms of seeing what kind of defense was out there. And it led to some big results. And you just felt, I mean, I know momentum, whatever. But I mean, like, you felt a big momentum shift with that first drive from Buffalo. It's like, all right, they're taking over.
Yeah, it really felt like that Buffalo, you know, in Rocky III where he keeps taking the hits from Clubber Lang and you're like, oh my God, he's going to lose. And then he comes back and wins. That it was like the Bills thought that Steelers defense was so good. Look, we're going to take some hits, but then we're going to know what they're doing. We'll adjust really quickly. And we're so, we know our talent is so good. You know, I don't think the Bills from 2 years ago could have pulled off a win like this because, you know, they didn't have the receivers around Josh Allen. They didn't have the coaching staff. You know, Brian Daboll it's a great job at offensive coordinator, and I want to give him credit because he's a big part of what they did. It's not just the Steelers weren't covering Diggs, the Bills were getting Stephon Diggs open. And so just watching this offense, I mean, Brinson, you asked the question, is this team a legit Super Bowl contender? And I feel like behind the Chiefs, I'd put them, you know, Mr. Tennessee Titan right here, I would put the Buffalo Bills in the #2 spot as the second best Super Bowl contender out of the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one problem you have, and the Titans showed it, and look, the Bills defense, again, as Ryan pointed out, it's gotten much better, but you can run on Buffalo. They're a little small on the inside. The Steelers just can't run the football. I mean, that's a big problem. And I don't really understand why everybody keeps being like, the Steelers have lost their identity. They're a smash mouth team that plays great defense. It's like, yeah, in the 70s.
Right. I mean, a couple issues, and Jason Lockenfor wrote about this Sunday morning. Steelers are concerned about Big Ben's knee, which we didn't hear anything about during the telecast, which is weird because every injury we hear about with Big Ben, real or otherwise.
Florio kind of wrote a, and Florio works for NBC, obviously, he's on that telecast. Like, I sort of wonder if he sort of wrote a, he's like, yeah, one of those articles that Florio writes where he's,
you know, it's not as serious as maybe
Or he's like kind of like taking a shot at JLC. I don't know if you take a shot at JLC, but it's like sort of downplayed it. So who knows?
So there's that. I mentioned the drops. And you're right about the running game. They're not a running team. And the long handoffs are just the pass plays that all these guys keep dropping. Also, something else to worry about. Big Ben can't throw the ball deep anymore. He can throw it there, but it's going to be late and it's going to be underthrown. So that's why there's a lot of short and intermediate passes that they have to catch. But the interception by Levi Wallace was 7 minutes ago was a great play. James Washington didn't really see it. And the pick six wasn't a deep throw. It was just behind Juju Smith-Schuster to Teron Johnson.
Well, and like the pick six was like a changeup. It was not a quickly delivered football. And then the one down the field was just off target. And he can't throw that good play too,
where the corner's kind of ripping it out of the sky.
But James Washington was open if you throw it. If Josh Allen throws that ball, it's either overthrown by 50 yards or he has a chance to make a play. It's
right, he's running underneath it. I mean, like James Washington was, Ben ain't got it. I mean, you're going to take offense to this. I don't care. It reminds a little bit like Phillip Rivers or even Tom Brady, where it's like, you know, there are just times where the age shows, or Drew Brees. Like there's just times when the age shows. They don't have this out of nowhere velocity like Josh Allen does anytime they want it. That's just how.
And week 14, when you've played four games in 16 days, is when your age is absolutely going to show. I mean, Roethlisberger never looked older than he has really since the Ravens game. You know, the offense sputtered there. They only scored 19 points. And then obviously
he's also had to throw the ball a ton.
Yeah. His arm is probably killing him. He's the pitcher in Little League.
Man, the Steelers really need that bye, Ryan. It's too bad they're not going to get it.
He is so trying to talk himself in that Ryan Finley tattoo right now.
So when, I'm just trying to think,
when will his arm fall off? halftime of the Cincinnati game.
Or they're going to let Mason Rudolph play starting at halftime because the Bengals will be up, or the Steelers will be up 31-0.
They sort of tried to manage his throwing numbers.
When he was hurt last year? Yes. That's when.
The first couple of weeks of the season, but man, ever since that game against Pittsburgh, last, eight games. Oh my God. Ben has, quick math because PFR hadn't updated, 356 passing attempts.
Yeah, his arm's killing him.
That is a ton, man. He's averaging 45 pass attempts per game for the last eight games.
Something else to consider. He is doing a lot of the, if not the initial play calls, he's doing a lot of the changing in the line of scrimmage. So he's fine doing this. And one of the concerns, this is one of the concerns to Bruce Arians, that he and Randy Fichtner, the OC, are too buddy-buddy. And it's not necessarily in the best interest of the team in terms of what they want to do, but they can't run it. I mean, that's the reality of it. They had two offensive linemen go down, so they were down to their last offensive lineman at points in that game. So there's some things to work out. But look, at the end of the day, this team is 11-2. Last year, they went 8-8 without a quarterback. So it could be a lot worse. Injuries, every team has injuries. But the defense played well without Joe Hayden, who had a concussion, Budget Priest done for the year. And they played well against a really good team for 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah. Brian, is there any way they lose the AFC North?
I don't think so, because I do think they beat the Bengals, and then we'll see what happens tomorrow. The big game, I think, Breach, and you probably agree, is that the Ravens, if the Ravens win tomorrow, it's over for the Browns.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Division-wise, they'll still go to the playoffs.
New York Times has Steelers 95% chance to win the division, Browns 5%.
Yeah, I think, the Browns schedule isn't that difficult, and you would imagine they're going to be super pumped, because that game is in Cleveland, I believe, in week 17 against the Steelers. And God knows what the Steelers will look like, but Big Ben may be throwing left-handed, so who knows?
It's pretty unlikely, but it hasn't been ruled out quite yet. The Steelers defense, one last thing, the Steelers defense, a little concerning to me. I think the Bud Dupree and Devin Bush injuries and then Joe Hayden not out there, it's starting to add up. It feels a little bit like, you know, this team gets out to 11-0 and it's gonna it feels like a car that gets out there fast and then is, you know, gets a flat tire, is limping into the finish line. And
no, it's a fat guy who's running a race, and they get up in the first 60 yards of the 100, and then they're spent. They're done. Their pants are too tight. They're thinking about eating hot dogs. They're like, all right, let's just take a break. We'll bend over, get our breath, and then by then everyone's blowing past you.
Okay, coming up this Wednesday on CBS Sports HQ, signing day is happening. It always sneaks up on me. It happens late in the NFL season. It's like signing day. And all these kids are tweeting out stuff and coaches are going nuts. And then we are going to have wall-to-wall coverage from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on December 16th. Feel bad for Chip Patterson, Barton Simmons, all those guys, Tom Finelli, Danny Cannell, all the Brady Quinn, I'm sure will be involved, are going to have to just be grinding out discussions about where all these teams end up on the 247 rankings, the industry standard, of course. We'll have live announcements throughout the day, including Flip Watch, rankings, leapfrogs, and of course, signing alerts. You make you feel like you're watching Kornacki out there on the election night. It'll be big, exciting breakdowns of all the top prospects. No matter what D1 school you root for, we'll have you covered with breakdowns of all the teams. It's 9 hours of programming, after all. It's available on the CBS Sports app or on your connected TV and mobile device. Make sure and download the free CBS Sports app in those spots and get ready for signing day Wednesday, December 16th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Like the length of this podcast. Eagles 24, Saints 21. Eagles didn't just cover the +7.5. They get the money line. They're +300 or something like that. The overs, I mean, ridiculous that this overhit. I'm so furious about this. So dumb. Maybe Jalen Hurts is taking knees and he fumbles and the Saints get a damn touchdown there to get the over 45 total points. Especially if you got it early in the week at 44. Brutal. Miles Sanders, your top fantasy performer, 25 points. He's doing the same thing he did last year. Can't wait till people overdraft him next year. Taysom Hill had a nice day, 22 points. And Jalen Hurts, 20 points as well. Doug Peterson actually wouldn't name Jalen Hurts the starter after this game. He's like, I'm the starter of the starter. He's like, what are you doing, Doug? He ran for 100 yards on 18 carries and didn't commit a turnover in the passing game. You're playing Jalen Hurts next week. What do we think about Jalen Hurts, Ryan?
Oh, I love it. And I don't mean this disrespectfully. And actually, first, we have to have Debo.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I should have checked with Debo first. Debo. Where's your head at following? He hadn't unmuted himself, so I wasn't sure. Where's your head at on the Eagles right now?
I mean, contrary to what some people may think, I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if it's Rodney Pete, Mike McMahon, Coy Detmer, Ty Detmer, Doug Peterson himself. I'm going through quarterbacks.
AJ Feely.
Through the years, absolutely. It doesn't matter to me. So I was thrilled. He was undoubtedly better than Carson Wentz was for a lot of games this season. It's clear he's the better fit for the current state of this team. I wish they went to him sooner. I think they'd have more wins. His legs are a huge asset with that depleted offensive line and the limited weapons. So yeah, it works out better that Jalen Hurts is the guy for this year. It's a no-brainer that Doug names him the starter moving forward and for the remainder of the season. And then we address things in the offseason when we get to that place and after the Eagles have made the playoffs and I've collected $20 from each of you.
That's true. That's so good. Yeah, the offseason is going to be interesting because Carson Wentz's dead cap hit in 2021 is $49 million. So clearly he's not going anywhere. You got to try to fix him. But that's not a problem for now. I think Debo's exactly right. Jalen Hurts' ability to run the ball, I mean, you mentioned the 106 rushing yards, is huge.
106, yeah.
And I remember at the combine talking to an NFL assistant coach who said Jalen Hurts, he thought was the best running back in the Big 12 last year. And he wasn't being a jerk. He was being like, this guy is that good. And who wants to tackle a 220-pound guy, whether he's a running back or not, over and over again? And that opens things up for Miles Sanders. And we know that Carson Wentz is athletic, but Carson Wentz isn't the runner Jalen Hurts is. And that's the offense you're running. That's the offense you're running. Own it. The only issue was that stupid fumble that you mentioned. You can't do that. You can't do that at the end of the game. And you know, they were fortunate to come out.
Yeah, if that's a 4-point game, you lose.
Yeah. So that can't happen. But again, he didn't throw an interception, which Carson Wentz has struggled with. He did have the fumble. But just one turnover, I think right now you would take that as an Eagles fan. And I want to see – I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I want to see who starts next week for the Saints when they face the Chiefs, the quarterback. That's going to be an interesting thing.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Drew Brees isn't coming back no matter what?
Oh, I thought you were like saying they should bench Taysom for Jameis.
No, I don't know what the –
You're saying that's like – That's what I thought you were saying.
No.
I mean, Taysom's look kind of – am I crazy? Taysom's look good?
Well, that's my thing. Is Drew officially out?
I think they have said that they're going to be.
I mean, he could have come off injured reserve for this game, but they didn't even take him off. So it feels like they're slow playing to make sure he's healthy for the playoffs, because if he comes back too soon and breaks two more ribs against the Chiefs and you win that game, but he's done for the year, you know, at what cost did you just bring him back? So.
Yeah, but now I will say this, that it may not even be like Sean Payton's call. It could be a situation. Remember last year, he sort of came back too fast to play the Cardinals before their bye. And everyone's like, what?
Or Norwestern.
Why is he? Well, no, but he came back and they crushed him. and he played well because he was mad Teddy Bridgewater won. So I don't know. I sort of wonder, does losing this game make him be like, all right, Taysom's not getting too much, Taysom's not going to take my Chiefs.
You're already behind the Packers. Losing to the Chiefs in AFC doesn't really affect what you're going to end up doing. I don't know if you're going to catch Green Bay. Debo, let me ask you this quickly. What is more unlikely, Jalen Hurts beating the Saints or Alshon Jeffrey catching a touchdown pass?
Man, he must not like Carson Wentz because he does some things on the football field when Carson Wentz is not on the field. There's some truth to those rumors out there, I think.
Ooh.
I was shocked to see that. That's almost as shocking as seeing J.J. Arcega-Whiteside doing anything notable or positive on the football field.
What did J.J. do?
Nothing. That's the point. Like, that's the only thing that would have been more unlikely than Alshon doing something.
I know. It was like Hurts throws. It's like Jeffrey touchdown catch. It's like, well, I didn't see that.
I mean, I feel like Debo hit the nail on the head wondering why Doug Peterson didn't make this call a few weeks ago, because I mean, you could clearly see it that Jalen Hurts just brought a spark to the team. Every single offensive player, like sometimes by the second quarter, you see the Eagles just kind of dragging, knowing they're not going to do anything because Carson Wentz is either going to hold the ball too long and take a sack or lose a fumble or do something stupid that's going to cost them the game. And it just, it wears on your morale. And all of a sudden with Jalen Hurts in there, I mean, the Saints hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher in 3 years, and the Eagles had two in this game with Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders. And that's what he does. He's so dynamic. It's like, I'm not comparing him to Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, but you open up the offense like that when you have a quarterback who is that mobile.
You know what he's like, Rach? He's like Taysom Hill.
He is kind of like Taysom Hill.
Well,
Saints defense has been really good this season. And so the fact that he was able to have that kind of success against them, it really says the Eagles could have been really good this year if Hurts had played longer.
Well, and the Eagles hadn't given up, so they lost four straight games coming out of their bye. But they gave up 27 to the Giants, which was terrible. But only 22 to the Browns, 23 to the Seahawks, and 30 to the Packers. I mean, that's not like, elite level defensive numbers, but, it's the sort of thing where you feel like if your defense can do that, then you should be able to hang in those games, right? And, they just couldn't do anything offensively. The offense just looked fresh and different and like it had some life. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing for me, Debo, is you felt not that Hurts knew. It's crazy though. Like all the blame that's been pointed at the offensive line and the weapons and the coaching. I mean,
here's where I come to defense of my boy. I do think there is something to be said for Doug Peterson, and especially during the week, he says, we're going to change the play calling. We're going to get the ball out quicker. We're going to put Jalen Hurts in good positions. What were you doing for 13 weeks with Carson Wentz? Yeah, Breach made the point about Miles Sanders getting over 100 yards. There was no commitment to Miles Sanders in previous weeks, and Jalen Hurts comes in and they show that commitment to Miles Sanders. Doug Peterson is just we thought he was the perfect fit with Carson Wentz. He's 11-2 when Carson Wentz isn't his starting quarterback. He coaches better when a quarterback isn't Carson Wentz. This is, Frank Reich back in 2017.
I've been saying this for months.
Right. But so yes, Jalen Hurts played better than Carson Wentz has or would have played all season long. But the situation, maybe a little bit of the spark, but the context around it and how the Eagles approached it, especially led by Doug Peterson and how they put Jalen in a spot to succeed, I don't think they did a good job of that with Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz deserves blame, but I don't think he was put in the best spot throughout the season.
One thing I'll say is that we'll see how next week goes, because we've seen these quarterbacks come in and have success and then sort of slow up. So they're at Arizona next week. We'll see if Jalen Hurts has similar success or if the team started to sort of figure out how to defend him and whether it was a 1 week thing or maybe he can sustain it longer than that.
5.5 point dog at Arizona next week. Number's a little surprisingly big number.
Well, no, it wouldn't have been a surprise to get the doors blown off. No one expected them to beat the Saints. I mean, this Saints win is the.
I'm just saying they were 7.5 point dogs to the Saints and
Is the Saints win more surprising than the football team beating the Steelers? Like, in retrospect, it feels like it is.
Way more surprising.
What is the time the football
team? Just because the Saints didn't have Drew Brees. The Eagles win is more surprising.
Way more surprising.
All right. That's what I thought. I was double-checking.
But, look, for the Saints, how high is the panic level here.
I will just say real quick that Will Lutz has missed 3 field goals over the past 2 weeks, which was an issue last week because they beat the Falcons handily. He pulled a Randy Bullock last week when he missed his field goal and then feigned injury, but I didn't hear anything about this week. And obviously he played against the Eagles and then went out and missed a 45-yarder on his first attempt. And that's an issue when you're in the playoffs playing close games. You want a kicker you can trust, and I am not so sure the Saints can trust Will Lutz right now.
I feel like the Steelers and the Saints are going down similar paths, losing games right now they shouldn't lose. They've lost the number one seed. They probably ain't getting it back. Their quarterbacks are 4,000 years old combined. So good defenses, but, you know, how far are you really going to go?
I don't know if I go that far with the Saints. So the Saints have Kansas City, Minnesota, Carolina. You think they win 2 or 3?
That's fine, but are the Packers going to lose? I mean, that's where we're at.
Well, probably not. Packers have remaining the Panthers, Titans, and Bears.
I mean, are the Titans, is the Titans defense going to be able to slow down Aaron Rodgers?
Titans can beat the Packers for sure.
Titans can beat anyone or lose anyone.
Yeah, that's right.
Titans, I mean, Derrick Henry could run for 350 yards in that game.
But the Titans defense is dog doo-doo.
Yeah, I'm going to bet that over in that game for sure. but I just think, the Saints may have lost the division.
Not the division. The conference.
Not the division, excuse me, the number one seed. They should be good for the division. They haven't clinched it yet, but.
Just got to win one more game.
Just got to win one more game, and they will get one more win. I feel confident. Okay. Cardinals at the Giants. Yeah. Cardinals 26, Giants 7. I guess we won't spend too long on this. Cardinals cover the -3, under 47.5. Kyler Murray, 19 fantasy points. Kenyon Drake, 15 fantasy points. Who's the loser with the Giants in the NFC East pool?
Ho, ho, ho! Up high, down hard!
Looking so good 2 weeks ago, and just the wheels fell off. Colt McCoy beat the Seahawks last week.
Why did they even go to Daniel Jones here?
Here's the thing, clearly, Daniel Jones is athletic, and a lot of what he does is with his legs. I pulled my hamstring before, various points in my life. It ain't a 2-week injury. You can't just take a week off if it's any sort of seriousness. You're going to be hobbled, and he was clearly hobbled. He hadn't turned the ball over in 3 games, I think. The first quarter, maybe in the first series, he gets crushed fumbles. I think he fumbled again later.
Yep.
And it was same old Daniel Jones, and it's not his fault. And Debo just put the quote in there from Joe Judge. He had no regrets about playing Daniel Jones. We made a calculation based on what we thought he could do as a player. And that to me says, look, man, we're trying to win. Colt McCoy ain't it. And I get that. But I mean, do you think about going to Colt McCoy in the second half? Do you try to, I mean, cause the Cardinals
weren't good.
Here's the good news for the Cardinals. You're right. They weren't good, but Kyler Murray looked better than he's looked in about 3 weeks since that shoulder injury. So that's encouraging news.
Yeah.
But the Giants never had a chance and they played like they didn't have a chance.
They were down 20-0 very quickly. As you point out, you know, turnovers galore. Fumble, punt, 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 fumble, punt, punt for the Giants. Yeah. That was their first half.
Deion, what's his name?
Lewis.
Deion Lewis. I was going to call him Deion James.
Third quarter touchdown he jumped in for.
No, but Deion Lewis had a fumble, in the first quarter as well, which.
That's right. Well, and, oh God, I forgot about it. So the first drive
on the Kung Fu kickoff return.
Yes.
On the first drive of the game, Daniel Jones fumbles. So the Cardinals get the ball on the Giants 9 and they went for it on 4th and 1 and turned it over on downs.
Right.
They could have even been off to a hotter start. They had, on their first 5 drives, 3 of them began inside the Giants 40-yard line. One of them began almost right at midfield and 2 of them began on the 21-yard line or closer. So you basically started 2 drives in the red zone and they only came away with 7 points on those. I mean, this could have been much worse than what it actually was. And, again, you know, you saw it late, the Giants were sloppy and this is probably a good, I was in on the Giants. I thought the Giants were going to win the game. It was stupid. I mean, this is a great.
Yeah.
Buy low on Arizona, sell high on New York. You always see it in the NFL. And it was, I think it was an opportunity to zig when everybody was jumping on board the Giants. But yeah, Daniel Jones, he didn't need to play today. There wasn't any reason for him to play.
The Cardinals had 8 sacks. As Debo points out, Hassan Reddick had 5 sacks.
Yes.
That ain't it.
Franchise record for Hassan Reddick.
Over the past 5 years, the Cardinals have only had 8 or more sacks twice. Both times it came against the Giants.
Well,
and the other one was last year.
Oh, so Daniel Jones been sacked 16 times by the Cardinals in 1 year, in 2 years?
And it, yeah, is correct. And that's what happened. Well, when you have a hobble quarterback back there who loves to run around and you take that ability to run around away from him, like, what do you think is going to happen? Daniel Jones has proven that he can't just sit back there and throw passes because he's going to get hit and he's going to fumble the ball because that's what he does. And so all of a sudden, when he can't run around, he has no idea what to do. It, like, he should have been pulled at the end of the first quarter when they realized that the offense wasn't functioning the way it should with him out there. And not that Colt McCoy is a huge step up, but he's a step up from a hobbled Daniel Jones. So I just thought, you know, Joe Judge and that coaching staff have done such a good job over the past month, that it was surprising they just let Daniel Jones get eaten.
The one thing they couldn't do, and this is what they did against the Seahawks. You just can't give away easy field position. You got to force the, you needed to force the Cardinals to work for it and then just try and like, somehow cobble together 14 points and get out of there.
Kyler actually ran well for the first 7 weeks. So let me ask you, let's go around the horn. How confident do you feel in your NFC East predictions?
Well, the Washington football team are minus 275 to win the division, so I feel quite confident.
Who's next?
The Giants at 3.5 to 1.
Still got a chance.
Philly is 6 to 1, and the Cowboys are 80 to 1.
That's where the money is. Put it on the dark horse. I think it on the dark horse.
I think if you're betting on the division today, now, if you're just desperate to do it, like if you've got some, depends on what your exposure is. Like if you've got some Washington at like 5 to 1 or whatever, put some on Philly in New York. Cover your bases. This division can go side. This division can go 8 different ways.
There are only 2 teams in the NFL that have 3 games left against all teams who are below 500.
You're not really still making a case for the Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys are one of them.
But the Cowboys are the worst team in football. Oh,
yeah. They're not the worst. They're 4-9. They just beat the worst team in football, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, boy, that's tough. All right, let's move on. Does look good for the Cardinals to make the playoffs. If Kyler's healthy and DeAndre Hopkins gets going, this team is dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make a deep run. I'm just saying they're dangerous.
Are they going to even beat the Eagles next week? I bet Debo doesn't think they are.
Ooh. Eagles are running the table.
Yeah. I like the confidence.
If you think so, bet the Eagles 6-1.
There you go.
Quarterback.
Easy money.
Washington 23, San Francisco 15, Washington +3, and the under hit. Washington, of course, wins on the money line as well. The dogs were barking in some spots again on Sunday. Alex Smith left, I believe, at halftime with what has been described as a not very serious calf strain. No word on whether or not he will be ready for next week. I think it's too early to tell. He wasn't great. He was under pressure. Dwayne Haskins came in with 7-12 for 51 yards. Nothing incredible. This game was all about, frankly, Chase Young and the Washington defense, Ryan.
Yeah, Chase Young is defensive rookie of the year.
He sealed it today. It's over.
He took over that game. He had a strip sack. He had a return fumble. I think he had a forced fumble. He returned the fumble for a touchdown.
Yep.
And when he was returning that fumble for a touchdown, he looked like a bigger version of Derrick Henry. So if you don't want to tackle Derrick Henry, guess who else you don't want to tackle? You ain't even going to try to tackle Chase Young. He is a specimen. And he is just about unstoppable. They have 4 incredible defensive linemen. They don't need to blitz. And you mentioned the matchup with the Buccaneers. Should that come at some point? That's going to be a huge problem for whoever has to face football team. Because this team is sort of like, you could talk about the Ravens in 2008 when Joe Flacco was a rookie and they just leaned on the defense. Go back to Big Ben, leaned on that defense when he was a rookie. All the Bears, when they go to the playoffs, it's always about the defense. And the offense just sort of coming along for the ride. They didn't have Antonio Gibson again. He has a turf toe. I'm not sure when he's coming back. So they're just doing it with defense. Logan Thomas was a leading receiver for football team. So again, it's the defense also helping Nick Mullins, who throws for thousands of yards and also somehow finds a way to have a losing record.
But this defense is perfect for the playoffs. I mean, it's not just the Buccaneers. If you're playing against 40-year-old Drew Brees, have you ever seen Jared Goff under pressure? That makes the Saints and Rams beatable. And Aaron Rodgers, if you get to him early, like we saw in that Buccaneers loss or the 49ers did to him twice last season, you know, he gets frustrated. And so you have all these older quarterbacks. You know, I think they maybe would have trouble with someone like Russell Wilson, but
I don't know.
Of all the quarterbacks that could maybe be in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but see the different, like the thing with like Russell or Kyler Murray, if you ended up having to play one of those guys, or, I mean, it really sets up well for him. Like you're right about the golf thing is not, you know, I think Green Bay would be the one team that might light him up because Rodgers would get it out quick and run around, and Russell would be able to be mobile too. But the thing about Washington is that, as Ryan points out, you don't have to blitz. So you can send four guys and just drop everybody else into coverage and not give up, you know, just double down on DK Metcalf. Like, I think there's,
no, by the way, they
bring Shadow.
They bring in Ryan Kerrigan when they need another defensive lineman. One of the other guys gets
spy on Wilson or Murray.
Yeah. You could spy on. Yeah. I was like, no, not with Ryan Kerrigan.
Not with Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah. Chase Young locked up defensive rookie of the year. That guy, why did we not bet that? It was like 2-1 before the season. It was a slam dunk.
And the crazy thing is Washington won this game without scoring an offensive touchdown.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's how good the defense is. Nowhere near scoring an offensive touchdown and the defense scored two.
Seattle, Tampa Bay, Arizona, and LA look like the four teams that could end up in the five seed potentially. Who is the best matchup if Washington wins?
Best matchup for football team to win?
Yeah.
Mention the teams again.
It's Tampa Bay.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay defense, Tampa Bay fans and our buddy John Ledyard, who writes for Peter Report now, there's a lot of concern about Todd Bowles in terms of the way he's coordinating up that defense. Cause that defense, although the advanced metrics loved them early, they've been getting gashed, man. They haven't been exactly setting the world on fire. So it ain't like, I mean, if football team scores 10 to 14 points offensively, you're asking Tom Brady to do a lot of heavy lifting against that football team defense.
Yeah, I think you could do a number on Arizona.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I think Arizona's a year away. I think Kyler,
With Washington, you want the worst defense to go against though, because I'm pretty sure their defense can overwhelm anybody. So I might say Seattle.
Yeah, to Breach's point, I would much rather face Tom Brady than Russ Wilson.
Fair.
Goff or Jared Goff. But yeah, Alex Smith would struggle against the Rams defense. That final score of the game would be like 6-3, even though the Rams did beat them earlier this season. That was before Washington got good.
Yeah, that was sort of my point. It's like, I'd rather play a bad defense. 49ers are toast, right? Say goodnight to them.
I mean, I was sort of surprised that, Beathard didn't come in.
He had his helmet on at one point.
He was warming up, but yeah, I don't know.
Nick Mullins is just under siege. I don't understand how the 49ers have
had a chance to
9% chance to make the playoffs. That seems high.
Just got to go 8-8 and hope the Cardinals go 8-8 and hope somebody else goes 8-8.
That's all they got to do.
Go 8-8.
9%. That feels high for 9%.
Well, they still play the Cardinals. So if they win that game, then all of a sudden Arizona has seven losses. So I mean, that's why it's 9%.
All right. The 49ers are now, are they 5-9 or
5-8?
5-8.
They're done. I mean, Nick Mullins isn't leading this team to the playoffs.
No, he's not.
What's next?
Cowboys, Bengals. Cowboys -3 hits. The under 44 was a freebie. And Andy Dalton was your leading fantasy score in a revenge game undoubtedly made John Breach cry and feel weird things inside.
All I'm going to say, because we don't need to talk about this game, is that it was my best bet of the week was betting against the Bengals. If you had watched our early picks last week, if there are two things I know about, it is Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals. This is an absolute stone cold lock. There was no way the Bengals were going to do anything. Their offense is atrocious. They've scored 3 offensive touchdowns since Joe Burrow went out, and they reached a new all-time low. This is arguably rock bottom the NFL. They fumbled on their first 3 possessions of the game. It was absolutely embarrassing, and that was it. Andy Dalton didn't have to do anything because he just let the Bengals beat themselves. And as someone who played for the Bengals, he knows that's the best way to beat them. So,
Brandon Allen left. He got hurt and Ryan Finley came in. And this is what our buddy Paul Daner, who writes for The Athletic and covers the Bengals, he has for some time.
This is hilarious.
This is what he wrote, after the game. I'm not saying Ryan Finley is remotely good or doesn't hold the ball too long, but the Bengals line blocks for him like they hate his guts. And that gives me hope that I won't have a Ryan Finley tattoo.
That Ryan Finley tattoo is going to have guts on it now with Daner's tweet.
That was just, so the opening drive, the Bengals get the ball. Did they force a punt?
For who?
Did they force the Cowboys to punt?
Yeah, in the second half, not in the first half.
Okay, no, so the Bengals started with the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. They fumbled.
But it was Giovanni Bernard has, that was his sixth career fumble. He doesn't fumble.
Right.
And he coughed it up immediately. You're like, all right, this is going to go south very quickly for Cincinnati. And it did. I mean, like, the Cowboys didn't even have to really do anything. Andy Dalton was 16 to 23 for 185 yards and two touchdowns. Zeke Elliott ran 12 times for 48 yards. Tony Pollard 11 times for 39 yards. Like, the Bengals are just lining up like fat Samaje Perine and running him into, oh, I know. You know what? This, I was watching a part of this game.
There was a butt fumble.
There was a butt fumble. At one point,
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's the end of the, what quarter was it? Was it the end of the first quarter? I think they had a third and one and they, Zach Taylor had him sprint up to the line and run a play that involves Samaje Perine into the line. They get stuffed. Yeah, it was the first quarter because then they ran the end around with Alex Erickson. They ran the little jet sweep with him and he gets the first down, but then he fumbles on fourth and one. And I was like, why are you sprinting up to run a play before the end of the quarter?
Do you want to ask Breach the weekly question about his favorite coach?
It's time to move on, Breach. You got to pray these guys move on from Zach Taylor. This guy's bad.
All I said about Zach Taylor is that Bengals ownership is going to give him another. He's going to get another year.
Oh, you said you would give him another year.
No. I said I think he's going to get another year.
What would you do if you're Mike Brown?
I think he's going to get another year.
What would you do if you're Mike Brown?
If I was Mike Brown, I would have a long meeting with Zach Taylor after week 17. And I would like to hear his plan going forward. And I would probably lean toward letting him go. But Mike Brown's not going to do that. He's going to be here in 2021.
You know, Breach is full of it. He said, letting him go.
That's what the Bengals do. The Bengals did. They had an argument about whether or not they fired a coach, Sam Weish, in 1992. Like that, the Bengals are weird. They do weird things. You let people go. You don't fire people.
The Marvin Lewis thing was crazy too. It's like,
yeah, the Marvin Lewis thing.
It was like the Seinfeld episode where it's like, turn your key, Maura. And like,
there was a report that he was going to be fired. You remember that? And then he kept his job. Like, are you kidding me?
You're not fired.
He just kept coming to work. He said, no.
Basically. So like, this is anything I say. It can happen. It's not weird because it could happen with the Bengals.
You know how bad the Bengals are? They are so bad that we are not talking about Mike McCarthy and Mike Nolan. Like those are the two most popular guys in Dallas right now because they steamroll. That defense in Dallas is straight up doo-doo. Mike Nolan in his little sweater vest like me was a clown show 48 hours ago. And now he held Ryan Finley and Brandon Allen at some point.
Is this edition of the Bengals worse than the Jets?
No, because they won two games.
I was going to say this shows how much Joe Burrow masked with his play. And yes, I think without Joe Burrow,
Who wins Jets Bengals week 18 matchup, Breach?
Jets by two touchdowns.
God.
Yowzers.
If you want to make money, bet against the Bengals. All I've done the last 3 weeks.
So what is the, do we see what the line was for Steelers Bengals?
I think it's like 12 right now, I think.
That's not high enough.
All right. Debo's prodding us along.
Okay. Whatever.
We spent way too much on the Bengals.
Yeah.
What do you expect? You get Breach on the podcast, Debo. We're running late. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll run through the rest of the games.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chiefs 33, Dolphins 27. I don't really know why this game got put behind the Bengals and the Eagles in the rundown, but I guess you could hazard a guess and see if you can figure it out. Anyway, Dolphins +7 covers unlikely fashion. The over 51.5 hit. It felt a little tenuous, but the Chiefs clinched the AFC West. Tua Tagovailoa, 30 fantasy points. I believe he's actually won the Millie Maker, if I'm correct. Tyreek Hill, 22 fantasy points. And Patrick Mahomes, 21 fantasy points. I thought Tua looked really good and really bad at various points. It's actually on my screen as I look over right now. But acquitted himself pretty nicely, all things considered, Ryan.
Yeah, fire in his belly. In fact, Prisco admitted that he showed some toughness, and he stayed in the game when he hit those rough spots, which didn't happen a few weeks ago when he was pulled. Yeah, he made some really good throws. He doesn't have the greatest arm. We knew that. He took a ton of hits, and he's getting better with that. I like this Dolphins team a lot. I like what Brian Flores is doing. We've talked every week about how Fitzpatrick gives them the best chance to win, and I think that hasn't changed, but Tua is getting better. I will say this about the Chiefs. They're clearly the best team in the AFC. There was a time maybe 3-4 weeks ago where it wasn't clear because they were sort of sputtering their way through some of these games and beat the Panthers by 2, then they won by 3 and by 4 and by 6. This game's a little different. They were down 10-0, and I was trying to think of an analogy, and Breach probably has a better one, but it's like when you're at the beach and like the first few waves don't knock you over. You're like, I got this. And then the rogue wave comes and just blasts you, and you get sucked under in the undertow, and you're like, you're not sure. That's the Dolphins. And that's what happens to every team that faces the Chiefs. 10 points is not enough. 20 points is probably not enough if you ask the Texans. So you just have to run the ball a ton, I feel like, and just try to grind out the clock because there's no easy way to beat this Chiefs team.
The Chiefs scored, so they're down 10-0 going in the second quarter. Chiefs scored 2 touchdowns right before the half, and then scored and then ripped off 16 points, including a safety of Tua in the third quarter. And it was just you're right. It was just a tidal wave.
Check Slack. Debo has a nice little stat on that.
You could just read the stat.
I'm going to give you credit. After falling
back. That's 3 touchdowns for an Andy Reid team in a game in his head coaching career.
He scored 3 TDs and 249 of game time.
Great example. It just felt like a tidal wave rushing over you. And there's just not much you can do if you're the Dolphins. I mean, just because the Dolphins are a good defense. And I mean, they intercepted Patrick Mahomes 3 times in this game. Like, yeah. Credit to the Dolphins for playing a great game plan, but sometimes
I think the Howard interception was the second best interception I've ever seen.
Second best interception of the day.
Yeah, which is nuts, but it was amazing. The other two were tipped early on in the first quarter, in fact. And the first one, I think the defender just sort of jumped. He had fallen down. He jumped up and tipped it. But, yeah, those are mistakes that you have to capitalize on. I think, is Hanson the kicker, Breach? He missed a field goal early, so that cost him 3 points. They did score the other time, but, it wouldn't matter.
Jason Sanders, but yeah, he did miss from 45 yards after Mahomes' first interception. And you know what's funny is like watching Mahomes playing these defenses, even though the Dolphins are one of the best defenses in the NFL, it's like he toys with them. Like after the first interception got tipped, he almost ran off the field like, ha ha, how cute was that? The Dolphins intercepted me. And then the second interception got tipped and he was like, looked more perturbed than anything. Like, well, this is dumb. Like I made a good throw that shouldn't have been intercepted. And then all of a sudden he's down 10-0 and he goes into like Incredible Hulk mode, turns from Bruce Banner to I'm going to destroy you. And that's what happened. I mean, after the second pick, he didn't put any passes anywhere that could be tipped. And we talked about Howard's great interception. That was the only other play the Dolphins defense really made for the rest of the game.
I mean, the Chiefs, I think it would be an upset at this point if the Chiefs didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, Packers Chiefs would be fun.
Packers Chiefs would be awesome.
I don't think the Seahawks can beat the Chiefs because of that defense.
Yeah, probably not.
Any better. Carlos Dunlap has helped at the rush game. But I mean, how are you beating Patrick Mahomes? It would be fun.
I was wondering who's beating Patrick Mahomes.
I'll tell you who, Derek Carr.
I was going to say Derrick Henry.
No.
You get two possessions per half. The Titans run out 28 minutes on one possession. They get 7 points.
I mean, the Titans had a 10-point lead last year with the same team and a much better defense. And Mahomes just took care of business. It wasn't even close. So, yeah, I mean, this is – look, great effort by the Dolphins. I'm not going to say they needed to win this game, but stealing this game would have probably put them in the playoffs. Now
– and help the Steelers.
It helped the Steelers a ton. Now, as we note, the Dolphins have – a substantially difficult schedule coming up. They have to face, in week 15, the Patriots, then the Raiders and the Bills.
And those last two are on the road.
Do the Dolphins make the playoffs?
I guess the question is, are they going to win two games?
I do think they're going to win two games. So I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
So 10-5 won't do it. It won't be 10-5. What will it be?
Maybe 9-7.
They're 8-5 right now, right?
8-5.
Or 1-6. I think.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. 10-6. I can't do the math. 10-6 won't do it.
No.
Wow. So you're saying the Ravens or Vegas is going to get the 10 wins?
Yes. I think the Ravens are.
So the Ravens are winning out, is what you're saying.
The Ravens have margin for error. They can lose one.
Oh, you're right. They haven't played yet. That's tomorrow night. Yep. Or tonight. Sorry. Okay. I'm sticking with B-Flow.
I mean, look, they're a fun team. 48% to make the playoffs. The Ravens are at 53%.
They're beaten.
And you mentioned the Dolphins schedule, which was the Patriots, Raiders, and Bills, but the Ravens have, after Cleveland, Jacksonville, the Giants, and Cincinnati.
And you talk about this all the time, Breach. Why isn't, Matt Barkley playing in week 17 for the Bills when they'll have nothing to play for?
I mean, we'll see what the standings are, because right now everybody's separated by one game. When you look at the Titans, when you look at the Steelers, so I feel like it'd be very hard pressed for not to be some sort of seeding on the line in week 17.
Well, not to extend the discussion of the playoffs, but it will be interesting to see what coaches do. So like, let's say you're the Bills and you're in the third seed and you're one game back of the Steelers for the second seed.
But you like your matchup at the 6 better than the 7.
I'm just being like, do you even bother? Like, there's no home. I mean, home field matters because you get to play in a stadium you like, but there's no fans. There's no home field advantage. And
wait, but what is the rule? So like, if the Titans host a game, Tennessee can have fans though. There's not going to be some NFL uniform rule where, okay, no fans though, right?
Kansas City has fans.
I'm saying like for postseason, there won't be any new rules about fan attendance.
I mean, I suppose in theory somebody could change it. I mean, like
I think they just have to follow local protocols.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I mean, like you obviously. My point is that if you're the Bills and you're one back of the Steelers and you have the tiebreaker, and you're going into Week 17 for 3-2,
right? Doesn't really matter that much.
I mean, how much does it matter? Like, is it can play your guys? You want to suffer an injury as a result? You know, whereas in 2019. You'd be going all out to get that number 2 spot because it's a bye.
Yep.
Okay. So that's worth noting. And we'll just have to see how different teams handle it. But that's a little spicy to think about. Okay. Moving along. Packers 31, Lions 24. The Lions cover +9. The under 55.5 hit. Wow. I was thinking this game went over. Dang. Aaron Rodgers 36 fantasy points. Davante Adams 17 points. He scores again. The Packers are the best team in the NFC.
Yep. Yes. Hey, we agree. Thanks, Ryan.
Sure, I'll say so. We don't know what Drew Brees' status is, so I think we kind of have to say that, right?
And when he comes back, we still will not know Drew Brees' status. Like, is he still the best quarterback on that team? Taysom Hill, as we pointed out, has been surprisingly efficient.
I've been dead wrong about Aaron Rodgers for 2 straight years. It's really annoying.
Yeah, I haven't. I've always liked Aaron Rodgers. I thought maybe last year he seemed like he was pouting a little bit, but they still won 13 games. It's worth noting that Breach didn't pick the Packers to win the division this year.
What? Are you sure?
What was it that you did? You kept
that's crazy talk. That's the only person that picked him last year. Everybody thought Aaron Rodgers was a failure, especially Bleep. And I kept bringing up the fact that I did pick them to go all the way to the NFC title game, which is what they did.
That's what I wanted.
So did you pick him this year or yes or no?
No.
To win the division? Yes.
Yeah. How far do you have him going?
Not to the NFC title.
How about that that tweet that Sean got who said, hey, buddy, I hadn't seen you at CBS in a while. Wasn't sure if you got fired.
For the June 23rd article.
for the June 23rd article where you ranked the top 10 quarterbacks. You know, you had Dak. Aaron Rodgers not on the list. Whoops. Dak. Fine. Whatever. He mentioned somebody else.
He's Stafford. Like,
what?
Stafford.
Stafford. Whatever.
And
Carson Wentz. Oh,
that is a fire. By the way, you know who said that text?
Who?
Carson Wentz.
I mean, that's unfortunate. Rodgers has been awesome, though. Like, I think Rodgers is going to win MVP.
In Bleep's defense, he responded and said, no, I got fired for saying Doug Peterson was a top 10 coach.
I do think Rodgers is going to win MVP now.
Without a doubt. And he's doing it with one player.
It's not without a doubt. I mean,
who's second?
Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is first.
Oh, I meant on the NFC side. Sorry. I thought we were splitting it up. That's right. It's a two-person race.
I think what's going to happen is the Packers are going to get the one seed in the NFC. And these voters are going to look at it and say, all right, Rodgers got screwed in the offseason, got no help. He's got good coaching, but he doesn't have Andy Reid. He has one guy in Devontae Adams, who granted is the best wide receiver in football right now. And
would you rather have him over Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think voters like Prisco and I assume like old.
Do you think people would vote Rodgers if he's quarterback of a 13-3 Packers team over Mahomes if he's quarterback of a 15-1 Chiefs team?
I think that people will say
he has no one to throw the ball to.
I think people say they're really close. This is probably the last time Rodgers can win it. Mahomes is going to win a bunch of these.
Oh, he's going to get
forward.
A pity vote.
Yeah. Not the pity vote, sort of like
Aaron Rodgers. That would be a chip on his shoulder if he wins with pity votes.
I can see Pete Prisco right. Thinking that and like acting on that thought. Like, all right, I'm never like Rodgers has been great. He is easily an MVP candidate. It's really close between the two. Mahomes is going to win a billion of these moving forward. I'm going to give Rodgers my vote. Now
it's not a pity vote though. If he plays at the level he's playing at right now, I think
tiebreaker.
Rodgers has fewer interceptions right now. Is that right, Breach?
Mahomes, by the way, as of right now, -275 at William Hill. Rodgers 2-1. Why did we bet Rodgers 5-1? Damn it.
Rodgers is 2-1.
What's Big Ben? Can I still bet Big Ben? What's he at?
You don't want to do that. He is.
Did Rodgers throw an interception today?
Let me look. Give me a second. He did not. Three touchdowns. Okay.
Mahomes has more because Mahomes now has five. Mahomes only had two on the entire season before throwing three today. So now it's five and Rodgers has four.
Yeah, I'm all in at Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I think if you still have the option to bet this, you should bet more Rodgers. Any Rodgers plus money is, and I'm not, he's going to get minus money, but
by the way, my dark horse number three, maybe it's not even dark horse. My number three right now on the list is Josh Allen.
That's everybody's number three.
Someone might say Russ.
No, Russ is 50-1 now. Russ is minus like 125 4 weeks ago. That's crazy.
He's trending downward.
Yeah. Allen's 20-1. It's a two horse race. It's Mahomes and Rodgers.
Yep.
All right. And I think Rodgers, if the Packers win out, get the one seed and Rodgers keeps up on his current pace, that he will get the award over Patrick Mahomes.
Anything to say about Daryl Bevel as the interim Lions coach? I mean, do they cover? I think they covered, right?
Yeah, they covered.
Okay. Got a ball victory?
Just barely.
Yeah. I mean, he's not blowing anybody away, but you know, good job by him.
I mean, the Lions look competent. Does that count?
The Lions are missing a ton of players. Kenny Galladay just is refusing.
I will say this. Marvin Jones, did that touchdown count? Which one didn't?
No, they didn't count.
The one they overruled.
Ridiculous.
That was a great catch.
That was a catch.
That would have won.
You give them the catch on principle alone when it's that awesome.
Yeah, he got robbed. That was a great catch. Great throw, great catch.
The Packers have no defense. They're missing tons of players, but they're playing hard for Daryl Bevel. That's all you can ask for.
The Lions have no defense.
The Lions, excuse me. The Lions players don't hate the coach. That's pretty good. Bucks and Vikings, Bucks 26, Vikings 14. If you had the over here, one of my best bets at 52.5 or 51.5, you would probably like to see Dan Bailey die in a fiery pit of lava right now.
Oh, God, I forgot about that poor kid. All right, Brady.
I think Dan Bailey would like to see that.
Briggs, let me ask you this. Oh, sorry. Go ahead and I'll ask.
Bucks covered -7, the under 52.5 hit. Tom Brady and Kirk Cousins, top fantasy performers. Dalvin Cook also scored a touchdown. Dan Bailey left 10 points on the board. Ryan.
So, Briggs, this is a bad day for kickers all around. Is sort of, what's it called? Is yipping it as a kicker, is that similar to the Steelers wide receivers refusing to catch the ball time and time again. Like, what's the mental thing? How do you fix it? What does your dad say about all that?
I would say that there is absolutely a mental thing. You see kickers struggle. Like, the misses will come in bunches. The thing is, before this week, before week 14, there had only been one kicker all season who missed three field goals in a game. That's Steven Goskowski in week one for the Broncos. And then we saw Dan Bailey just did it. I think the Jets kicker did it against the Seahawks. And we saw someone else. So three kickers did it in the past 7 days after it hadn't been done all season. And with Dan Bailey, he struggled for two seasons. So he was one of the best kickers in the league while he played for the Cowboys, got injured, signed with the Vikings, had a pretty ugly season and a half, and then kind of fixed things. And so if you've had those struggles, it can get back in your head really quickly. And we saw him miss an extra point in the first quarter after Minnesota's first touchdown, and all of a sudden it's 6-0. And, you know, if you're the Vikings, you're like, not a big deal. People are missing extra points this year. Then you're Minnesota on your very next possession. You send Bailey out for a 36-yard field goal. You got to make anything inside 40 in that. You got to make anything inside 45 in the NFL. And he misses that. So now you have a missed extra point and a missed field goal. And the Buccaneers score the next touchdown. So now they're up 7-6, blah, blah, blah. But Bailey, once you miss an extra point and a 36-yarder, you're in your own head. You're trying to fix your mechanics on the sideline. If there were clips during the game, everybody leaving Bailey alone, because if you're the coaching staff, you don't know what to say to the kicker. Like, you don't want to say something to make him feel good, because then he's like, oh, you're coddling me, and that makes things worse. But you can't yell at him because you don't want to make his head. Like, there's nothing to do. You just got to let the – that's why the lonely kicker, the Adam Sandler song exists, because there's nobody knows how to talk to a kicker once they get into a rut like this. And Dan Bailey was in a rut.
I am really disappointed, Mike Zimmer said. I have a lot of faith and confidence in him, but the last 2 weeks haven't been good. I love the kid, but I don't know.
So what does that do for your confidence when you hear your coach say that publicly?
I mean, Mike Zimmer notoriously hates quarterbacks and kickers. He doesn't care for kickers. He doesn't, like, just, you better not show up and miss. And he doesn't want the quarterbacks to be the center feature piece of a team. So,
by the way, the underrated favorite part of this game for me is Mike Zimmer wearing his mask just on his nose. He, like, hit it above his mouth.
Yeah, and Bailey missed two field goals and an extra point last week against Jacksonville. So that, now you're talking about five field goals and two extra points. And two, if the Vikings were in the playoff race, I think they would look for a new kicker.
Now my question, who are they looking for? Like, who's next?
Anybody. Nobody's going to miss five field goals in 2 weeks.
Give me a name. Like, who are you signing?
Somebody. I don't know who's on the practice squads around the NFL, but if you're willing.
The Vikings are in the playoff race.
Well, so if this is it, this is if Zimmer this week against the Bears, if you're keeping him for this game, you're keeping him for the rest of the season. So
yeah, that's right. That's right.
And Wilson, I don't know who's on practice squads. If you're willing to sign someone to an active roster, you can steal anyone off a practice squad. So they could potentially.
I thought you wrote the weekly practice.
But the Vikings gave Dan Bailey a 3-year extension.
Well, I mean,
he's costing you games.
That's why you don't give kickers extensions. You treat them like trash they are.
Carson Wentz signed a huge deal, and he's currently on the bench too. So, I mean, that's not.
I mean, yes, Carson Wentz's deal is worse than Dan Bailey's. I will give you that. I don't know that the Vikings win this game anyway.
They could have gotten 10 points and still lost. So,
I mean, at one point, there's like a 4th and 6 past midfield, and Zimmer's like, go. They didn't even flinch. He's like, go. It was, after several of the misses. So, it's a weird spot. It puts that team in a weird position. It's not, you can't be the Vikings and play the way that they want to play and be missing a ton of field goals.
Well, you said it a month ago, let Dalvin cook, and he did again today. I mentioned it earlier. Todd Bowles, way he's coordinated that defense is obviously a concern. Dalvin Cook had a huge game. I'm also sort of concerned about Tom Brady. 15-23, 196. He had two touchdowns, one to Gronk, I think. Who's the other one too? Oh, the long bomb to Scotty Miller.
Yeah.
But again, we've talked about
He was had some awful misses.
Yeah. If he gets pressured, he gets happy nervous, and then he starts air mailing balls, and that's just, that ain't going to cut it very long.
Mm-mm. Give the Vikings defense or the Bucks defense credit. I mean, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson didn't do a whole lot.
All right. I mean, we'll see. That defense hasn't inspired a lot of confidence as far as shutting down people for me in recent weeks.
No, they're clearly hemorrhaging and sort of sputtering to the finish line, but they are 8-5, and they're going to the playoffs.
Also, Antonio Brown, 5 catches, 49 yards. I don't know if that's his best game of the season, but.
Have the Bucs been low-key crappy since Antonio Brown got there?
I think they're now 2-5.
Are you saying it's his fault, Brenton? Are you blaming him? I mean, you want him to come after you?
He's cursed every team he's been on for the last 3 years.
I will tell you who's cursed. Leonard Fournette. He was healthy scratch. LeSean McCoy had 4 carries for 32 yards. I mean, well, come on, dude.
The Buccaneers play the Falcons twice and the Lions over the last 3 weeks of the season. Is there any way they lose one of those?
I mean,
one? Yeah, for sure.
Falcons okay, I was going to say 80% chance they win all three. You taking the over or the under of that?
Under.
Under.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're going to lose one to the Falcons.
If they lose one, are they going to miss the playoffs?
No, they'll be fine losing one. If they get to 10 wins, 10 wins is what gets you in the playoffs.
9 or 8? What am I missing?
They're at 8, 8 and 5.
They're at 8. So if they go 2 and 1, they lose one. They're a lock. Like they're 100% in if they go 2 and 1.
Okay.
Cannot miss the playoffs if they go 2 and 1.
Right.
But if they finish 9 and 7, either Minnesota or Chicago, well, they would have the tiebreaker on Minnesota. So, but Chicago has the tiebreaker on them. That means the Bears would have to win out.
Bucks are 2 and 3 with AB. FYI.
So okay. All right. Let's move on. The Bucs are making the playoffs.
Yep.
Colts and Raiders. Colts looking sharp, baby. 44-27. The Colts throttled
their
car so bad that the Raiders fired their defensive coordinator after the game. Paul Gunther got canned by John Gruden, which is really surprising. Like he was one of Gruden's OG hires and is, you know, I guess you could blame this on the defense, but whatever. Jonathan Taylor, as predicted on this podcast, went bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
150 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. I hope everybody took the over on that. Derek Carr actually hit a parlay that paid out like 40 to 1. Jonathan Taylor, 2 rushing touchdowns and 120 rushing yards.
He had over, did you say he had over 30 points fantasy?
28 fantasy points. Derek Carr, 27. Rivers, 21. Do we think the Colts are a lock for the playoffs?
Golly, yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, pretty good.
85% to get in, according to New York Times.
I mean, they're at 6 right now. So, you know, between Miami, Baltimore, Vegas, are any of those teams going to threaten them? I think the Ravens have the best chance, but I think Breach is inclined to think that if any team gets replaced, it'll be Miami, not Indy. Is that right?
Well, the Dolphins and Raiders play each other. So, I mean, the Colts would have to – who's beating the Colts out for that? You know, is it the Ravens?
I mean, the Colts have the Jaguars left in the schedule.
Jaguars, Steelers, and who they play next week?
Texans. Steelers, Jaguars in that order.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, they could absolutely go 1 and 2, but I mean, this has been a pretty good team all year. They had that one ugly loss against the Jaguars in week 1. Other than that, they lost to the Ravens.
Well, they got the doors blown up by the Titans, but that was because we talked about DeForest Buckner, DeNico Autry, Bobby Okereke.
Yeah.
And DeForest Buckner is incredibly important to what they do, and that defense is really good, especially against the run.
Yeah.
They lost to Cleveland, and they lost to Baltimore.
Yeah. So the last 4 weeks, they beat the Titans pretty handily. They're 3 and 4, and in 3 of those games, like they have – or excuse me, the last 5 weeks, they have won, they're 4 and 1. And against the Titans on that Thursday night game, the Packers on that – in that the primetime afternoon game, the Fox game, the Texans last week and the Raiders this week, they turned it on defense in the second half. It's really impressive.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about the greatest play in the history of week 13, week 14?
Yeah.
Kenny Moore interception.
Sweet. Kenny Moore had an incredible one-handed Odell Beckham-like interception.
Over Darren Waller, who's 8 inches taller than he is, maybe.
Wasn't even a bad throw by Derek Carr. Kenny Moore just made a play. Sometimes dudes make plays and you tip your cap, and that's exactly what happened there. This defense is good. I think the Colts are – where do the Colts slot in the AFC for y'all?
Well, I can't believe you're spending all the time talking about your defense when your boy Phillip Rivers also had a fantastic game. But I would say they slot
– yeah, talk about the defense, and then you talk about Phillip Rivers.
Their defense is so good. I mean, we've been talking about the Steelers' defense, but I think the Colts is up there as far as being –
I think the Colts defense is better than the Steelers defense.
I think you could argue they have the best defense in the AFC, and I think their offense is a lot more competent than Pittsburgh's. So when you talk about all around team, maybe 3 behind the Chiefs and the Bills.
You got to win one playoff game.
Keep
Wilson.
Pushing the Steelers down. Sorry, Wilson.
Breaches hatred. Here's the truth, you dumbass.
Who'd you take, Rivers or Roethlisberger right now for the rest of the season?
And then Rivers has turf toe. You're going to take Turf Toe Rivers over Roethlisberger, aren't you?
More importantly, who would win in the foot race right now, Big Ben or Phillip Rivers?
Oh.
Or Brinson.
No, Brinson would win. So here's the thing. Pittsburgh's offense ranks 17th. The Colts offense ranked 16th, according to my buddy's DBA, at Football Outsiders. Defense for the Steelers ranked first coming in this week. They're probably less not because of the injuries. And the Colts are sixth. Their special teams is better by a few slots. So they're similarly matched. Not to the, I mean, Breach clearly just hates the Steelers, and I understand that.
I think the Colts are a bad matchup for the Steelers.
Yeah, I think right now every team is a bad matchup for the Steelers.
Well, I just think they play that 3-4 zone, so they're going to be like squatting down in these lanes that Ben wants to throw in. He can't go over the top on you. They can't run the ball.
I think it would be the Spider-Man meme. Like,
they're similar teams for sure.
Yeah, it's Big Ben in his fat Spider-Man outfit and Phillip Rivers in his fat Spider-Man outfit just looking at each other, throwing 4-yard passes all night long.
Is Rivers going to be a Hall of Famer?
Probably.
If the Colts win the Super Bowl.
He ain't going in before Big Ben and Eli.
No. Well, Eli already retired, so certainly not. The Raiders, do we think they're toast?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, and by the way, in defense of John Gruden, as Debo notes, the Raiders have given up 40 or more points in three games this season, just tied for the most in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is terrible, but
Also worth noting that Paul Gunther didn't draft those defensive players who are.
That's my point. Like, I don't care who you have on defense. The Raiders had the Chargers, Dolphins, and Broncos left.
Chargers game will be a fun game.
They could wait if they win out. Are they not going to make the playoffs?
Depends. They're not a lock,
right? Because they're now the ninth seed of the AFC.
If they win out, they'll be.
If the Ravens win tomorrow, the Ravens are 8-5, and that's a huge problem.
If the Raiders win out, the best news is 10-6. And if the Ravens win tomorrow, like Ryan just said, then you have two teams at 8-5, which means if both those teams go 2-1, the Dolphins and the Ravens, they could easily go 10-6. And all of a sudden you have three teams at 10-6.
But the Raiders would have beaten the Dolphins.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So then you have the Dolphins at 10-6, the Ravens at 10-6, and the Raiders at 10-6.
So they have work to do is the point.
A lot of work.
And we don't know who wins a tiebreaker between those three teams?
Between those three teams right now, the Raiders and Dolphins are both 5-4 in the AFC. And if they went out, they would be 8-4.
Which is
And the Dolphins would have 5 losses because of the loss of the Raiders. So then it'd be down to the Raiders and Ravens.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
All right.
I got to get home by 2 a.m.
You're driving
Eastern time or Central time?
No, I'll get back to the hotel. So I can
These last ones will be fast. Titans 31, Jaguars 10. Derrick Henry went bananas again. Titans -7.5, under 53. Somehow hit me. Jaguars, jeez. Gardner Minshew replaced Mike Glennon halfway through the game. Ryan Tannehill, 20 fantasy points. Derrick Henry, 33. A.J. Brown had an incredible one-handed catch. Yeah. Titans just sort of throttled down.
On a flea flicker.
That's right.
Titans throttled down and let Derrick Henry do his thing. And then once they had a lead, they just sort of suffocated the Jaguars. The Jaguars are, were it not for the Bengals and the Jets, the Jaguars are a really, really bad football team.
The Jaguars gave 122 yards in rushing to Derrick Henry in the first half. But more importantly, the Jaguars got royally screwed last week. This is going to haunt them when the Jets lost that football game in the last second because they were Trevor Lawrence driver's seat for moments, and Greg Williams stole that away from them on his way out the door.
Yep. And real quick on Derrick Henry, went over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns for the 4th time in his career. That is an NFL record. He was tied with 3 guys who had all done it 3 times. The 3 guys are Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and LaDainian Tomlinson. That's a pretty strong list.
Fun fact, those guys are all in the Hall of Fame.
That is a great fun fact. Derrick Henry is the last great running back, right?
That's maybe possible. He is just so much fun to watch. When he gets in the open field, there is no one scarier. And he
on our list? Was it? It was tackle Derrick Henry, have Jamal Adams tackle you. Was that on the list?
Yeah. It was Saquon Barkley, but yeah, Derrick Henry, we talked about.
Oh, Derrick Henry's worse, I think.
Yeah, way worse. Derrick Henry hits you at full speed, you might evaporate.
I'll be honest. I don't want to tackle Saquon Barkley the day after he has ACL surgery. So that's where I'm at on that.
I wouldn't want to tackle Saquon Bobley with no like legs where he's just.
Okay.
Titans are in a great spot to make the playoffs, obviously. Defense. And man, they just feel like, I do think Breach is right. They can beat anybody. They can lose anybody.
Yep. Defense is a problem. You wouldn't know it to play the Jaguars, but the defense is a concern.
Yeah. Colts or Titans win the AFC South.
Here's something you should know. The Titans had zero sacks today against the Jaguars.
That's concerning.
Right.
No pass rush.
There was zero pass rush. There was one sack in this game.
Who do the Titans have left? Can the Titans, are the Titans going to win the division?
No.
Yes. We disagreed. I think the Titans go 2-1. So they're going to go 11-5.
That's right. The Colts can't win the division in my mind.
Right. The Titans have to play the Packers.
And the Colts have to play the Steelers.
Titans have the Lions, Packers, and Texans. And the Colts have the Texans, Steelers, and Jaguars.
If they tie, then it's going to come down to division tie or like divisional record. And the Titans are 4-1 right now. The Colts are 2-2. So
Titans currently have the division.
Yeah.
And their conference record's better too.
But it matters. Division record's all that matters.
Well, if they have the same division record, then you go to the next tiebreaker.
But they can't possibly have the same division record.
Well, they could. They could both go 4-2.
Oh, but if got dunked on twice in 1 second.
But in Brinson's defense.
How would that happen?
I don't know.
Brinson's defense, if the Titans beat the Texans in week 17, then the Colts can't catch him in the division tiebreaker.
All right. Let's keep moving.
All right.
No one cares, Breach. Sorry.
Seahawks 40, Jets 3.
That's what I get for defending Brinson.
Seahawks minus 16.5, under 49 hits. God. Russell Wilson, 30 fantasy points. Chris Carson, 15. I mean, I don't know. What do you?
No words. I mean, the highlight of this game was the Marcus May interception of Russ Wilson. I think it was in the end zone in the first half.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I mean, Jamal Adams, by the way.
If you don't count that play, if you pretend like it never happened, this may have been the worst played football game by a team ever.
You just said this team is beating the Bengals.
Two touchdowns. That's how bad the Bengals are.
Jamal Adams has the most sacks ever for a defensive back in a single season, and he clinched it against the Jets, 8.5 this year.
You know who he surpassed? NC State legend, and actually my son's name.
Adrian Wilson?
Adrian Wilson, baby.
High Point native.
High Point's on. He's actually a scout now, I think. I can't remember.
He works for the Cardinals now.
Yeah, there you go.
I looked at him and said, yeah, you're a High Point guy, right? He goes, we're not from the same High Point, dude.
Yeah, he ain't wrong about that.
Well, he had that tragic incident.
I don't know the tragic incident, but I'm sure you guys didn't roll in the same circles.
Sergio Castillo missed 3 field goals for the Jets.
That was the other guy.
All inside of 43 yards.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
That's bad.
Why are you kicking the field goals? Why are you kicking field goals inside the 25 or inside the 30? Gase, you're playing the Seahawks. Your defense sucks. Go for some touchdowns. What are you doing? Why are you kicking field goals?
You know what's funny? I think you cannot
find defending a kicker.
Yeah, that is funny. You cannot find a Jets fan who wants the Jets to fire Adam Gase.
No, because he's just single-handedly dragging them to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Every first down is Frank Gore runs for somewhere between -1 and 2 yards.
Is Adam Gase the guy in the war movie who is like leading the charge, knowing he's going to get killed to help the greater cause? Like, you see the guy that's going like, all right, this is it. I'm running. I'm at the tip of the whatever, the battalion there.
Well, if he's that, but he's also, once you're close to the battlefield, he runs off the battlefield because he's not losing his skin, but he'll lead you into battle and let you lose yours.
I thought he was like the guy from Major League where the lady hires him knowing that she's like, I'm a genius.
Yeah, that actually is probably a more accurate.
Sucks. The 100% chance he's going to lead us to Trevor Lawrence.
So like the, what's the other crappy game that we just talked about? What was the previous game we just talked about?
Jaguars-Titans.
Yeah, just like that game, I have learned nothing about the Seahawks in this game other than
the Seahawks took Russell Wilson out of this game in the third quarter.
There was
one.
Geno Smith, baby. And I thought
it was a Jamal Adams revenge game. It was a Geno Smith revenge game.
It is so disrespectful to put any quarterback in an NFL game in the third quarter.
Especially the one that you drafted seven years ago.
And here's the funny, I knew it was problematic because Robert Serio, the producer, had Russell Wilson in fantasy in his playoff game. Russ is gone at the end of the third, so that's a wrap.
I had him in DFS. I was furious.
So
I missed the money line by like this much, and it was all because they pulled Russ. Not that Russell's going to keep throwing it, but it's like, come on.
Thanks, Geno.
Anyway, it's all on Adam Gase. If he goes for the touchdowns, they're probably keeping it closer.
Come on.
Or they still get the
touchdowns. They're not scoring the touchdowns.
Yes.
The Jets are the worst team. I don't remember seeing the Lions, the Orlovsky touched it back. I remember seeing it, but like, I don't remember, like, we weren't like covering the NFL then, you know? Yeah. So like, I don't know how to exactly to compare them to
the Lions. He's just telling you that the Bengals are worse right now without Joe Burrow.
No, but I'm saying that the Jets, like the Jets are substantially worse than the 2016 Cleveland Browns. Are they worse than that Lions team?
Would you rather have Hugh Jackson or Adam Gase? I've asked this question previously. I think everyone said Hugh Jackson, right? I'll take Hugh Jackson. He's a better offensive mind.
Just no coach. You just have no coach.
Yeah.
Or Freddie Kitchens. You let a hamster coach you, and one of those guys can be offensive coordinator.
Freddie Kitchens, Hugh Jackson, or Adam Gase.
All right, so let's look at the, all right, I just want to look at the Lions real quick.
One game you have to win.
Hugh Jackson.
I think so. I don't even think it's close. All right, hurry up.
All right, hold on. I'm supposed to see the eight Lions.
Very busy.
But so the Jets are definitely going 0-16. I mean, they have to play the Rams. They're going to get slaughtered, right? Darnold going against the Rams defense?
They cannot win a game.
Is that fair? No. They shouldn't show that game on television. That should be rated TVMA.
The Rams are 16.5 point favorites already. So the Lions allowed
500. I think the Rams are favored by 17.
Yes. Oh, Lions allowed 517 points. And scored 268 points. Coming into this game, the Jets had scored, can't be many.
I think
they're worse. This is a worse team. How many points did the Jets score?
It would be easier.
180. They scored 183 with three games to go.
All right, keep going. I'll check DVOA. That's a better way to do it. Scroll to the bottom. -33.8 for this Jets team.
Did the Browns surpass the Lions as the worst team? I can't remember where people came down on that.
Detroit was -45.2. So the Detroit was worse than this. The 08 Lions was worse than this.
The Jets are going to get worse as it goes.
And what year did the Browns go? Was that 17?
16.
16. So we have 45, 33, and the Browns were -34. So it's worse.
Oh, no, excuse me. 17 is 0-16. 16 was 1-15.
17, okay. Yeah.
That's a pretty incredible run there.
Ooh, okay. So it goes, the Lions are worse, second worst of the Jets, third worst of the Browns.
Okay.
So, all right.
Let's look at a couple other teams that might potentially. I'm just kidding. I was hoping to make Ryan angry.
I'm asleep, so you do whatever you want to do.
Oh my God, there's still so many games left. Bears 36, Texans 7. This is the freebie of the year. I mean, the Bears going up against a Texan team with no weapons, and all anyone can talk about is how Deshaun Watson could have been a Bear, but the Bears didn't draft him. They took Mr. Trubisky instead. And Trubisky comes out and played really well. David Montgomery goes nuts. The Bears obviously.
Trubisky revenge game.
Oh yeah, it was a Ryan Pace revenge game.
Take that.
Yeah, this was a.
The Texans didn't have Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Kenny Stills, David Johnson, or Will Fuller.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Correct. They had somebody named Chad Hansen.
Who had a big game.
Isn't that the guy who hosts Red Zone Channel? He was playing football?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Having to play football and host Red Zone at the same time is a real challenge.
I don't know. If you're Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy and you have jobs in 3 months, what do you do with Mr. Trubisky?
I will say that I think that this, and we don't need to, linger on this game too long, but I do think that this game potentially opens the door for Trubisky coming back.
That would be a horrible mistake, but whatever. Do whatever you want to do. We know who Mr. Trubisky is. He ain't changing. You could have Brian Daboll be his coach. You're not going to see a Josh Allen type rebirth.
What if he wins out, Ryan? What if they win their next three games?
Fine, go crazy. Do it at your own peril. Let me put it to you this way. Would you want him playing in Cincinnati if Joe Burrow, and when Joe Burrow went down, would you want Mitch Trubisky out there?
Over Brandon Allen, sure.
That's probably a bad example.
I think the thing with Trubisky is like, will there be any sort of market for him? So this is the question. There's probably not going to be a market for him. We're going to see Cam Newton's going to hit the open market again. Phillip Rivers, technically a free agent. Carson Wentz, there's interest in him. There's tons of guys out there. So.
Wentz is not going anywhere.
I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to acquire somebody, I'm just saying.
Okay.
There's a ton of quarterbacks in this draft class. Dak Prescott is technically a free agent. Exactly. There is quarterback, Jameis Winston's a free agent. There's a ton of guys out there.
Andrew Gregory Dalton.
Get out of here with that. My point being is that if the Bears wanted to sign Mr. Trubisky back, they could do nothing and just give him a modest contract for 2 years and see if, or 1 year with an option or something like that.
I would not pay him more than $15 million a year.
But here's what the Bears might do. They might panic and franchise tag him.
They're not. They are not. Listen to me. Ryan Pace
was traded up from 3 to 2 to get Mitch Trubisky.
Ryan Pace is a guy that just got caught, spending $40,000 on his corporate card. He's not going to double down and spend $40,000 more. He's going to be like, all right, I'm going to be extremely frugal.
You obviously don't understand the guy who gets caught spending 40 grand on his corporate card. He's doubling down.
Fair enough. All right. I wouldn't do it.
Nobody would do it, but I think there's a chance that they might.
I think Matt Nagy secretly hates Mitchell Trubisky. Like, he is so frustrated that
it's not, secret.
Not, yeah, but I mean, you see the look on his face sometimes. I mean, he benched him for Nick Foles. Just walk away.
This is not about the Bears being good all of a sudden.
We'll have like 17 off-season podcasts about Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
Yikes.
Chargers 20, Falcons 17. The Falcons had maybe the greatest tweet I've ever seen from a social media account that was run by a professional sports team on Sunday morning when they tweeted out, the Spider-Man meme with the Chargers logo and the Falcons logo on it. Incredible stuff. So self-aware. So self-deprecating, so rude to the Chargers, and just basically, we both choke in weird spots. Let's go play football. And it played out exactly like that. It was incredible. So the Chargers cover, the under hits. This game looked like it was going to be an epic shootout, and nobody scores in the second half. And then in a span of 3 minutes, there's three picks. They're just like, no, you win, bro. No, you win. No, you win. And it was nobody wanted to win. It was such a poop fling.
12 plays. There were three picks and 12 plays
incredible
over the final 4 minutes of the game when it was tied 17-17. It was pretty clear the next score was going to win. You know what the crazy thing is? I think this game, we just talked about Trubisky and the Bears. This game makes you wonder, what's Matt Ryan's future in Atlanta? He had a total meltdown. He threw three interceptions in the second half. He throws the first interception to start that crazy three interception series. They're at the Chargers 26 yard line. You are in field goal range in a 17-17 game. It looked like you have it locked up. Nope. Matt Ryan gets picked off. Now Justin Herbert has the ball. Justin Herbert's trying to make plays. He's in Atlanta's territory. He gets picked off. Not that surprising. Matt Ryan has the ball back. He gets back into Chargers territory. Again, you have one of the best kickers in the NFL this year. Younghoe Koo does not miss. And what does Matt Ryan do? He throws another interception.
Terrible interception. And it's funny you mentioned that, Breach. So if you have a top 10 pick and there's a quarterback there you like, do you take him if you're the Falcons?
Yes.
You have a desperate need for an edge rusher and a cornerback, but I think if there's a quarterback there, you don't hesitate.
Matt Ryan is probably going to play next year.
Can you trade Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Potentially.
I mean, he's better than Phillip Rivers and Big Ben, I think. Isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
But not as good.
His dead cap for 2021 is $49.9 million.
Trade him to the Eagles. Done. Swap him for Phillip and Carson Wentz.
Swap the dead cap too.
You can finagle the dead cap on Ryan more than you can Wentz, I think. If you trade him after June 1st or whatever.
Either way, I think it's okay. Because Arthur Blank said when they fired Dan Quinn shortly thereafter that we'll see about Matt Ryan too.
Like if you put Matt Ryan on the Colts, I think he'd be having a pretty good season.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree.
If you put Matt Ryan on the Steelers, aren't the Steelers awesome?
I don't know. Like he holds the ball a little too long. That offensive line sucks.
Yeah, but
He's fine. Yeah, exactly. He'd get the same thing, maybe something a little better. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Ryan of the 49ers. The 49ers are a playoff team.
Yes. I mean, come on now.
Okay, won the MVP with Kyle Shanahan. Maybe that's a good landing spot.
Or maybe you just let Russell Gage throw the ball on every down. He threw a touchdown pass today. Probably the best throw of the day from either quarterback.
Yeah. Matt Ryan could use a hard reboot, so wouldn't be surprised.
We talked about Chase Young for defensive. Justin Herbert slammed up offensive.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson is right there, but Herbert will win it.
James Robinson has the case, but he plays for not a good Jags team. So
yeah, it's Herbert and Robinson. I mean, Herbert and Young. That's right. Broncos 32, Panthers 27. Man, the Panthers. What is happening here? Matt Rhule.
They were 3-3. Now they're 4-9.
That's all right. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, they don't need to be winning games.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, they need the draft picks. Broncos plus 4 covers. Broncos went outright. The over 45 and a half hits. Drew Lock had a big game, threw a long bomb to KJ Hamler, who also had a huge game, 20 fantasy points for him. Lock had 33. There was a couple of moments here at the end where the Panthers were down 8, I think, and kicked a field goal inside the red zone, which was a little weird.
Called Adam Gasing it.
Yeah, that one was bizarre. Panthers had a big run with COVID lately, so I don't worry about it too much. But I mean, they didn't do a very good job on defense. They didn't do a very good job on offense. Vic Fangio, man, he holds his team together on defense. They're missing everybody, tons of cornerbacks, and they still played really well. Whatever.
Yeah, big game for Drew Lock. KJ Hamler got involved. I'm sure Debo was happy about that. 2 touchdowns. Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton's not there. Noah Fant left with an illness, I think. So I'm not sure what the details are on that. But this is the team that I was sort of hoping to see when I pick them to go to the playoffs in August. Now, it's all about Drew Lock and can he sustain it? Because we know that John Elway's track record with quarterbacks hasn't been great. Maybe this is a glimpse of something to come. I think the funny thing is, not funny, but interesting. I mentioned the Panthers started 3-3. Their win under might looks like a lock at 6.
Yeah, somehow it's going to hit. It's incredible.
Also, Deontay Spencer, 83-yard punt return for a touchdown for the Broncos. That was the first score of the day. And you guys both mentioned KJ Hamler. He only had 2 catches in the game. One was a 37-yard touchdown. One was a 49-yard touchdown.
That was 49-yarder was with the
ice the game.
Yeah. So they were trailing by 5, and then the Panthers scored again. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, Debo points out that Fant and Garrett Bowles, their left tackle, were tested for COVID. Rapid test came back negative. Fangio said both players stayed in Charlotte for the night, and if tests are negative, will return to Denver on a private flight
tomorrow. Ooh.
Brandon McManus missed 2 extra points in this game. Wild day for kickers.
You see what
Brandon? It was a horrible day for kickers.
It was a great tweet. Brandon McManus tweeted, Brandon McManus sucked today. All right, let's get to winners and losers. Breach, you got in front of it.
Let's see. I do have a winner. My winner is Debo's Philadelphia Eagles. They finally had the onions to bench Carson Wentz. And what happens? Jalen Hurts goes out there and hurts Wentz's chances of ever getting his job back. So I love this decision. I hope they stick with Hurts. Doug Peterson, sounds like an idiot for not sticking. You should have just said, as soon as the game ended, we're sticking with Hurts next week, but he didn't do that. He hesitated, said, wait, Eagles are my winner.
I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. Huge game. Josh Allen stepped up, slow start, strong second half. Stephon Diggs, it's not so much a secret. I think he leads the NFL in receptions, but you know, we don't talk a lot about the Bills. He is so incredibly important to what they do. We talk all the time about Aaron Rodgers having one playmaker. Josh Allen has one in Stephon Diggs, which is so, I mean, Cole Beasley's a great addition in terms of coming out of the slot. John Brown's on the IR. Dawson Knox is an okay to above average tight end, but Stephon Diggs is a difference maker, and that defense is playing well too. Watch out for the Buffalo Bills.
I'll take Ron Rivera. I'm starting to think he should be the coach of the year. I know that Mike Tomlin's had a good record. Oh, don't give me that look. Sean McDermott's a willing candidate, certainly. But Rivera now has the Washington football team in first place in the division. They are 6-7. I mean, they could end up going 9-7. I don't think that's likely, but it's possible. And you heard the speech after the game. He said, nobody wants to play us right now. The defense looks outstanding. This is sort of not exactly what he did with Carolina in his first year, because, you know, the offense was a little bit better than what they have, this year, but he's doing this with Alex Smith at quarterback. Alex Smith. He's doing it with a quarterback who broke his leg and almost died like a year and a half ago. Dwayne Haskins. What's that?
17 surgeries on that leg.
17 surgeries. There's no reason the Washington football team should be involved in the playoff hunt. And Ron Rivera is going to get a lion's share of the credit. He deserves it. The organization has turned around. You saw the Indians announce they're going to get rid of their nickname too. Maybe it'll be the CBS, the Cleveland Baseball Squad.
Squad CBS.
Yeah, I get it.
I like it.
Anyway, Ron Rivera trending towards coach of the year. Has the Washington football team on the right trajectory? And for the first time in a long time, they should feel good about where they're going. How about a loser, Breach?
My loser is any team that takes a double-digit lead on the Chiefs. because why even bother at this point? It doesn't even matter. You get up 10-0, you get up 20-0, you're going to lose. Just don't even bother getting a lead because you're going to lose anyway. So just take the suffering out of it. And, so sorry, Dolphins, you got that double digit lead today. And guess what happened? You lost.
My loser, New York Football Giants. They were in the driver's seat last week. They beat the Seahawks. The NFC East went 3-1 on Sunday. Obviously, the Giants were the only team to lose. So football team wins. Eagles win. Cowboys beat the JV team, but it still counts in the standings. And Daniel Jones, a hobbled Daniel Jones, was made to play. He looked not great. The defense didn't show up. There were a lot of turnovers. And now the Giants have their back against the wall. They're still my favorite to win the division, but that's only because it's going to cost me money otherwise.
I'll take Deshaun Watson as a loser. 7 points against the Bears. He got outplayed by Mitchell Trubisky, which seems insane, but it actually happened. In fact, Trubisky was even the best quarterback out of the three from the first round of that draft class on Sunday. And look, it's just tough. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is traded. Will Fuller suspended. Kenny Stills is cut. You're thrown to Kiki Kute and Chad Hansen and Duke Johnson and somebody named B. Howell as your leading rusher. I mean, it's just a mess in Houston right now. And, you know, leading up to the weekend, we get this great article from Sports Illustrated. Jenny Vrentas and Greg Bishop, I believe, wrote it on Jack Easterby, basically breaking down where this guy came from and what he's doing and why people are concerned about him in Houston. And he's sort of the architect of this crap show in Houston right now. He's the reason that Deshaun Watson is throwing to Chad Hansen. And he's the reason why Watson, who has this huge contract, is now stuck in Houston and is going to waste away for like the next 5 years. It's not because Houston's not going to suck because they had to pay a quarterback a ton of money. They're going to suck because Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien ruined the one thing you can't screw up in professional football. That's a franchise quarterback, and they managed to do it, and it's costing Houston everything, and it sucks to watch. And it can't even help them. They don't get a good draft pick because Miami's getting that draft pick next year. So Deshaun Watson, big loser here. Not that he's a loser, but that he's, you know, suffering as a result of other stuff.
Well said, Brenton.
Thank you. That's the show, right? All right, that's it. Make sure and check your feed. We'll have a Monday night football preview with myself and Mike McClure. We'll then recap Monday Night Football, and we'll move on to Week 15. Tons of podcasts coming. For Ryan and John, I'm Will. See you guys later.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.